lovely episode with Emma Houlihan. Emma is better known on Instagram as Thriving With Frequency, and I actually met Emma a few years ago now via one of my courses, and I was really intrigued by her story. She was managing to live in France. She'd escaped England at that time during COVID, and she just seemed to have a really cool life and a lovely vibe about her. And I've always wanted to know her story a little bit more. So this was my chance, because we've actually become friends more recently and working together as well. Well, it's not really work when you do something you love. And I chat through how Emma escaped in what she calls it, her conventional normal life, where her and her husband were working full time. Both her kids were in school and she was suffering with depression and feeling quite trapped in her life, to how she now has moved to Portugal, living in a van, camper van life, travelling around, homeschooling, life basically of freedom. And it's amazing to hear Emma, how she did that, how she's managed to manifest what she has now. And you'll just see what a lovely person she is. So listen in, let me know what you think.
So Emma, how do I pronounce your surname?
Houlihan.
Houlihan. I've always thought, Houlihan. I love that. Yeah. Where's that from? Yeah.
It's Irish. So my husband has Irish roots, and it actually originates from hooligan.
Oh, really?
The word hooligan. Yeah. I married into a rebel family, a natural rebel family. Yeah. It was obviously where I was meant to be.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that, I love that. So let's kick off. So Emma, I've wanted to have you on for ages, actually. And we worked together. I don't like to even call it work, because we made contact years ago when you first did one of my first ever homeopathy workshops. Yeah. And I really remember you being, I think I was doing it from my mum's house in the evening. And I remember you being on screen, because I think you were living in France then and you'd managed to escape.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm really intrigued by Emma's, you know, this woman's story, because I'm always like, you know, fascinated when I see people dialing in. And then what's amazing is like we've reconnected and we're obviously working a lot more closely together. And I've heard bits of your story and I've asked you snippets, but I thought, you know what, one day I want to get you on to hear about it, like, and probe you more fully. To your Instagram is Thriving With Frequency, isn't it? If people want to connect. And you share all about your life, which at the minute you're living in a tiny van? Is that like...
No, it's actually quite big. It's a 7-metre motorhome. So it's not tiny, but it is tiny to most people. Yeah. So I've been living in here over a year.
It's amazing. So I want to hear, right, how you escaped. Like, what happened? You were living in the UK during lockdown. And what happened? Why did you decide to go and like live this life? Like, what was it like before, first of all? Was it ordinary, like conventional? Like, tell me about it.
Ordinary, conventional life. My kids were in conventional school. So my eldest son, Harry, he went through the whole school system. And then Zach was in school only for a year and a half. But yeah, just a normal conventional life, really stressful. I was working almost full-time hours and I had an hour commute each way. So it was really stressful. My husband worked full-time hours, but we weren't getting anywhere. You know, we didn't have any money really to show for it, you know, mortgage and all of that stuff. So just like a normal stressful life, not really having any, you know, not much time to spend together. Yeah, just really, really stressful. Wasn't happy at all. And I'd actually been through a really difficult time. Like, I'd always suffered with depression and all sorts really throughout my whole life, to be honest with you. I think I just always found it very difficult to fit in, because I just knew that it just wasn't quite right for me. So I struggled with my mental health a lot. And yeah, I was just sort of, my whole, like, it had come around again, you know, the depression had come around again, and I was feeling really miserable and not content and not happy with life. And I actually hadn't worked for a while. I'd been signed off by the doctor. And yeah, it was just quite tricky, really. And then, fortunately for me, I know it was really difficult for a lot of people, but COVID hit and it gave me time to just really reflect. And yeah, just sort of, I went down this really cool rabbit hole of spirituality and learned about meditation and all sorts of stuff. And my youngest son, obviously, I was homeschooling, which is something that I'd never thought of before, ever. I didn't even really realize it existed. And I just loved it. It was amazing. And then I could see, you know, I kind of had a little bit of a conspiracy theory, if you want to call it, mind anyway. Like me and my husband had been, we were quite into prepping and all sorts of stuff. And yeah. And then, like, I don't know, just something switched in me. I could see what was happening and I wasn't comfortable with it. I'd kind of fallen out with everyone because obviously I didn't agree. And I didn't want my son to go back to that. I didn't want him to go back to the school. I had lengthy meetings actually with with the head because I wanted to know how it was going to be. And it just not, it, everything just didn't sit right with me anymore. I just wasn't happy with it. And I remember texting my husband. I was sat at my mum's house and I just texted him. I said, right, that's it. We just need to go. I'm like, I'm
Amazing.
done. Literally just sent him a message. And he said, all right. And that was it. And literally 10 weeks later, we'd left because I felt like I couldn't afford to homeschool in England because we had a mortgage. We both had to work. You know, I would have had to drop my job and I didn't want to be there anymore. I didn't like the way it was. I could see what was happening and I wanted to be somewhere where we could just hide out really for a couple of years. So yeah, we just went. I told everyone we were moving. They looked at me like I was a bit bonkers, and I don't think they really thought that we were going to do it
Yeah.
and put the house up for sale, and it literally sold the straight away and we just left. And that was it, you know, just needed to change. I just needed to change everything because I didn't want to keep going round, you know, round in that circle with
Yeah.
self-destruct and depression and yeah, so
Emma,
yeah.
do you know what? Right, there's so much to unpack here. It's amazing because I felt, and I'm sure many people felt during lockdown, like, I've got to change so much about my life. You know, we had time to reflect on our corporate jobs, or, you know, just being in the rat race, and what's our sense of purpose and what's the point of it all. But very few people actually were able to make that jump to do it. And that's what I'm really interested in, because I've said so many times, oh, you know, like to my husband, let's move away, let's go somewhere where it's warmer, let's be, you know, have more land, more this, grow our own food. You know, and it doesn't happen. And I'm still trying to explore myself. Why is that not happening? Do you actually not want it? Do you want to be in England? Like, what is it that you actually want? Because I think once we know what we want, then we can manifest it. But
That's it.
when we don't know what we want, we kind of get what we don't know. So how were you so certain that that was it? You were going, like, do you remember what the final trigger was, or the final straw that broke the camel's back? Was it the clapping and the pots and pans on a Thursday evening?
Oh
Because
my
that was.
God. It's insane. The whole thing was bonkers. When I think about it now, it's like some sort of crazy dream. Like, did it even happen? Did people even do that? Like, I remember being shouted at for not wearing a mask on, you know, not having a mask on my face, like several times. It's like, is this reality? Like, what is happening? And then I think through the whole thing, I really realized there was such a big distance was growing between me and everyone I knew. I'd sort of grown apart from my friends, you know, we didn't really go out and do anything. And I just wanted to be with my kids and my husband every day. And we needed to create a way of doing it. And yeah. And so we needed to get rid of our mortgage. That was it. That's, you know, we had, it was such a big, you know, such a big, what's the word? You know, tie, like, you know, it was a big debt. We had that mortgage until we were 70 and we just needed to get rid of it and we needed to create more space. And I just had enough. I just wanted to leave. I didn't want to be around people really, you know, I just
Yeah.
needed to hide. So yeah,
I relate to that sometimes, definitely. And it's
I just
love.
couldn't take it anymore really. I just knew that if I didn't get out, it was going to destroy me being there really.
And what you said about depression as well, and I think so often mental health issues are a reflection or a symptom of us not being in our purpose, for things around us not being right, rather than it being something wrong that's in our own chemical mind. It's our body speaking that things need to change.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
I love what you said as well about wanting to be with your kids, because I feel like that too. Like, okay, don't get me wrong, they drive me bonkers. Like, I don't get time to myself because we homeschool, and sometimes I'm like, God, like, just please, peace. But I've always used to feel at the end of the summer holidays, really sad when they went back to school. Like, I didn't want them to go back. And everyone on like Facebook or people that I knew were like, yay, this holidays are finally over. I can put them back in. And I was like, that's just not how I feel at
No,
all.
yeah. Everybody was moaning. Everyone was moaning about having their kids at home. I just loved it. Absolutely loved it. Because Zach was only little. I don't know how old he was. He must have been about 5, 6. And I just had the best time. And I thought, I don't want to let go of this. I don't want to not spend every day with him. And I don't want to not spend every day with my husband. Because a family is supposed to be together. You know, we're not supposed to be separated. Yeah, it's just not right. So we just did whatever we had to do to create it. And
it's amazing he was up for it as well. So obviously,
we're very in tune. I'm really lucky. You know, Neil's great. He will basically just help me create whatever crazy dream I want. Like when I wanted a van at first, he was like, no, I don't want a van. That's what old people do. You know, they go off on camper van holidays. And yeah, I slowly wore him down and I got a van, you know, and it kind of really, that's where it all snowballed from, actually, was when I first got my first camper and just felt that it's the biggest sense of freedom when you're off on a road trip and you've got everything that you own and need in the back of it. Like, and you can go anywhere and sleep anywhere and there are no limits. And that's what started it for me. I think that's what kind of brought the dream back, because it was what I always wanted to do when I was a kid. That's all I wanted. I wanted to be in a bus and I wanted to travel. And that was literally my dream. I didn't want to do anything else. I didn't want a career or go to college. I just wanted to do that. And then I think when I finally made that happen, like everything else just kind of snowballed from there, really. I just came back to myself.
I love it. I absolutely like living your dream. I mean, it is so inspirational. And like, I think so many of us will relate to your story and it can draw inspiration from helping us to create our dreams. So what was the first, like, I'm sort of taking notes here from a practical perspective. Once you decided to go, you sold everything. Like, where did you decide to go to? What, how and why? You went to France, first of all, but why?
Yeah. There? So we went to France first because we had a couple of friends that moved there. So that kind of, that sowed the seed a little bit, because it showed us what was possible, what you could buy compared to what you could buy in England. Like when we realised the house prices in France, we were so shocked. Like it's so much cheaper back then. So we went to France first because my eldest son, Harry, he didn't want to move with us. He was 17 at the time. Just about to go to university, and you know, fair enough, you know, he's at an age where he just wanted to do his own thing, and it's a shame he didn't come. You know, obviously I hate being apart from him, that's like the hardest thing, but had to let him do what he want, you know, do what he wants to do. So we basically just moved to Normandy because it was away from England and it was out of the country, but to me it wasn't, it just felt like not too far, because I could just jump on a ferry and come home, you know, back to England. So it was kind of like the easy first step. So we went over to France on a holiday. I found a house on Rightmove, fell in love with it. We bought it. It had 5 acres of land. It was beautiful. We're like, right, we can hide out here. This will be perfect for a couple of years. And I thought it was going to be my dream home, to be honest. I thought, right, this is it. We'll live here forever. So yeah, 10 weeks later, we moved in. And that was amazing. And all the synchronicities sort of fell into place with it as well. I could chat about it for ages, but yeah, it was amazing. So yeah, we just found this house, lived there for a couple of years.
You make it sound so easy, Emma. Like we just found a house. Yeah. Like just, I've been just looking for years.
It did. Yeah. That's the thing. Like everything just fell into place so easily. Like we thought, right, shall we move to France? Let's put the house on the market, see what happens. Next day, sold, gone. Okay. We're like, shit. Okay. We need to go then. Found this house on Rightmove. And we ended up buying it for what we could afford as well. And it all fell into place. Like the house was empty and the people said we could move in early, even before, like it was just all went perfect, you know, like so right. It was amazing. And while we were there, it was wonderful. But obviously we moved during COVID times. So it was so weird as well at the same time, because we moved there and then we went into lockdown and France was like super strict. We were only allowed to go 1 kilometre from the house. It was just the most bizarre time. So we never really settled because we couldn't really make any connections or meet people. And We actually travelled around Spain and Portugal as well, because there are no borders, so we just drove wherever we, you know. So we never really settled there. We had a really amazing time and we really, really loved it, but it didn't really feel like home. So then I planted the next seed into Neil's mind about moving to Portugal. And he was like, oh no, I don't want to live there. It's too hot, blah, blah. And then after the second trip around Portugal, yeah, he agreed that we should do it. So we just sold everything, literally everything. We just, what we could fit in this van, we drove off with and moved again to another country. Yeah.
How did you see a lot? You must have a lot of determination, because for me, I'm just trying to put myself in that situation. If I'd moved to France and, I sold the house and it had worked out, quite easily in terms of finding a place, but I'm not sure I'd be, maybe I'd be like, well, maybe it's a sign to go back, to the UK. Like, how a lot of people, I think, wouldn't think, okay, no, we've only been here 2 years, let's now move to another country again. What, yeah, why did you not think, or did you think that? Like, yeah, but what happened?
There has been not one point have I ever thought about coming back to the UK ever. It's just not for me. It's not somewhere I can live. I struggle to visit, to be honest. I just so at no point did I ever think about coming back there. But what I don't know, I was just searching for this. I was searching for a real somewhere where it had a real sense of community, where, you know, I could school my son however I wanted, because France is super strict. Literally, I moved there after a couple of weeks and they banned homeschooling, and I was like, no way. And then we were going to be subject to testing and visits, and I was like, I'm not doing that. And I actually said to my husband, well, I'm just going to jump in the van and we'll live like a nomad. And then 2 years later, that's what we did. So you have to be really careful with what you say, because, you know, it always happens. But yeah, I didn't ever think about coming back to the UK. I just thought, right, we need to find community. I could see in my mind how I thought things were going. So we needed to find a good community, somewhere where there are lots of homeschoolers, somewhere where the weather is better and you could grow as much food as possible. You know, fruit just grows everywhere here. I was like, well, so to me, Portugal was just the logical answer. And because we'd moved once, like, that was scary. That was a scary move. To move to France, I couldn't speak the language. I had to drive on the other side of the road. Like, all of those things I had to get over. It just didn't seem really much of a big deal doing it again, to be honest, at all. We just, yeah, just felt normal.
That makes sense. So you had, did you have your van when you were in the UK then, before you left to go to France?
We had a smaller van. Yeah, we had a little
Okay.
small van that was really cute that we built through lockdown. Like,
Amazing.
did out that. Oh, it was so cute, Lisa. It was like this little wood cabin on wheels. It was just so cute.
Did you get rid of it?
Because it's too small to live in,
Oh, okay.
really, it was perfect for trips. You know, we spent several months in it, but to live in it permanently was, it would have just been too much of a squeeze. So we got this thing in France, literally like the week before we left. We just managed to find one, because yeah, it was a bit touch and go with finding something. So we found this beast, and yeah, just sold everything and jumped in and went.
So, okay, another practical question then, just before we get on to Portugal. How do you get rid of stuff? Like, because I mean, I've been having a huge clear out that me and my husband for the last sort of few months, we are chucking so much stuff. I hate buying things now because I'm like, oh God, I'm going to have to chuck that one day if I don't truly love it and it isn't really essential. It's made me really rethink about what I want to actually have physically in my possession. And it's
Yeah.
hard sometimes, particularly kids' stuff and
Oh
memories. And
no, I had to get rid of all my baby thing. I mean, I literally kept one baby grow of each and of them, and that's it. And then I thought to myself, like, I had so much stuff. It's like, why do I need this? I don't need any of this stuff. It doesn't, just because I have these stuff, this stuff, it doesn't like affect the memory that goes with it, you know. So just brutal. If I hadn't touched it for a while, it went. Also, we needed money. We'd run out of money. So we sold so much stuff on Vinted, and that allowed us to live for a while. But yeah, do you know, it's so freeing when you have a massive clear out and you just get rid of all of this stuff. Like, the loft was just full of crap.
Oh, the loft! It's our loft. It's like, oh my God, the loft. It's
Do you
all.
ever go in there and use any of it? Never. It's completely pointless. So yeah, it was just really freeing, and I actually really enjoyed getting used to it. And I feel like I have too much stuff around me even now. You know, we had another clear out of the van when we moved back in, and got rid of even more stuff, and it just feels so nice. Yeah, so
it's
just be
lovely
brutal.
purging.
Yeah, be brutal, get rid of it. You know, you still have the memories.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, yeah.
So you're in Portugal now. Like, what's it like? Are you living the dream? It looks lovely.
I love
from
it.
What I said. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. We moved to such a nice area. The homeschooling community is wonderful. So that goes to this lovely homeschooling hub. It's magic. It's in this really cute little secret valley where they've got waterfalls and like a river. It's amazing. And yeah, we found this house that's just a wreck with a couple of acres, and we're just going to do it up and just see what happens and just learn to grow some vegetables. We want to be as self, you know, reliant as possible, get some solar hopefully on the house, and yeah, we just do whatever we want to do each day, really.
It sounds idyllic. So what do you both do? Like, you were both had jobs, were you employed before you left England? Like, what do you do now for work?
Yeah, Neil was a gas engineer when we lived in the UK, and yeah, when we sold the house, he actually went into his boss's office and with a bottle of champagne to announce his retirement and gave it to them. So he retired at the age of, I don't actually know how old he is. Anyway, 4 years ago. So he just does projects. And if he has to get a little bit of cash work, then he will be. We haven't had to do that for a while. So yeah, he just will do whatever
Amazing.
project he wants. And I now, as you know, work with you with the Healy business. So my plan is to support us with that and just do whatever we want every day. I used to be a cook in England. That's what I was, a cook in a vegan cafe, which
Oh,
I really
wow.
did enjoy, but it's not something that I ever want to go back to. I never want to work for anyone else. I'll just
Yeah.
find a way. I knew that we would, you know, we just left England on a hope and a prayer. We've no idea how we would spend, how we would find money, what we would do, like nothing. We had no plan, just knew that it would work out, and it has.
I love it. So let's talk a little bit about Healy. And also, I want to talk to you as well about, you share quite a bit about using homeopathy as well. I'm interested to see how you got into that. Like, I know obviously you went on my course, but whether it's something you've always grown up with, because I think a lot of these things, they sound, you know, if you've grown up in the matrix and you're used to allopathic medicines and going to an employed job with an employer, regular income, this is all quite scary things to suddenly be relying on yourself to earn money, to be your own doctor, basically. So yeah, I'm interested in to discuss that in a bit more detail. But yeah, for people that haven't heard of Healy, well, I'm sure you have if you've listened to my podcast, but that was, you bought a Healy quite a while ago now, I think. And then you inquired.
June, I think.
Yeah. So I'd only had mine for a couple of months, because I got mine in April, beginning of April and last year. And you were interested in the Healy, and then you said about getting involved in the business side. So yeah, do you want to share a bit about that, your story there?
Yes. So if we start with homeopathy, so I'd never heard of homeopathy ever until I moved to France, because in France you can get homeopathy, well, you used to be able to, I'm not sure if they're like regulating a bit more, you could get it in any pharmacy. It's really easy to get. So I found you on Instagram, and that's when I learned about homeopathy, and it just made sense to me, because by that point I'd been down the rabbit hole and learned about how we are, everything is energy and we're energetic beings. So when I came across homeopathy, it just, you know, when you learn something and you just know it to be true in your heart, it just feels right to you. And that's kind of how I felt when I learned about homeopathy. So I started learning about it and using it with Zach. And I remember the first time, and it was terrifying because he had tonsillitis. And I thought, oh God, you know, I was really worried. And I was worried that if I didn't get him antibiotics, he'd be really ill, and I could have made it also worse. But it worked. And I was completely blown away. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then it's kind of snowballed from there. And the more I learn about homeopathy, the more And the more I use it, the more I fall in love with it. And then Healy came along and I saw you talk about this. I'd heard about it before and I was like, what is this weird little plastic thing? Like, I compared it to an Apple Watch actually. And I was like, I don't want that. I don't want a device. I don't want to wear anything that's connected to Bluetooth. You know, I'm just not into any of that stuff. And then I saw you talk about it, and then it kind of made me think, like, really thought, right, okay, maybe I need to look into this. So I watched your webinar with Claire, me and my husband did. And I just, yeah, just again, it just kind of hit me. And I was like, wow, this is like special. This is like, it just kind of felt like it was what we were about, you know, health sovereignty, freedom, you know, living as being, you know, radical responsibility for yourself, you know, all of that kind of stuff. It just felt like it was all tied up in this cute little weird device, you know. So yeah, I bought it as soon as I watched that, and then literally we bought it a couple of days later, and I think I must have put it in my basket about 5 times before I went through. Most people do, I think. And yeah, I never looked back. I just, when we used it, I was just blown away. And I was like, right, well, I need to start talking about this because this is amazing. Because I had been wanting to find a way to earn some money online because, you know, we want to have a free life. And I didn't, that's not the reason why I bought Healy. But when I realized how awesome it was and then realized that it came with a business opportunity, I was like, well, that's it. Like, this is the answer to my prayers, you know. So yeah, I've just taken the opportunity and run with it, really.
I love it. I love it. And
Yeah.
you've really, I mean, you've got some amazing stories about what it's helped with your health on a personal level. I might put actually in the show notes a link to the webinar that we did. There were seven of us inside
Oh, so much
Healy, the
fun.
Q&A. Yeah, because that's got us talking about our personal experiences. So we won't sort of go off too much there because it's there. If you want to watch it, I'll put the link. And we all share how it's helped us. But yeah, it is amazing. And you've just run with it in terms of the business side. You know, you've grabbed it, shared it, and you know, you're amazing and you're so wonderful at sharing how you use it and supporting people that get it through you as well. So yeah,
Yeah,
it's
it's quite easy to do though, I feel, because it's such an amazing device. My love for it is like huge. You know, I genuinely love it. It's so it's very easy to talk about because it's not like I don't need to make anything up. You know, I'm just literally talking about my experiences and how much I genuinely love it. So it's pretty easy, really, to do. So yeah, I love it. I'm learning so much as well. You know, the opportunities that are coming to me because of it is incredible. And it's just accelerated everything. You know, I was on this amazing growth journey anyway. And then all of a sudden Healy came into my life and it's just like whoosh, everything has just like sped up.
Love
And
it.
you know, I feel like I'm integrating all of the things I've been trying to learn. But now it's like it's all sort of sitting and yeah, it's amazing, really.
You use the coaching app much? The
I do
coaching
now. I
app.
have started after we had that call with one of the scientists. Yeah, I do now. Yeah, I really like it. But I'm a mega microcurrent fan. I love the microcurrents because it's what's helped me. I've had so many, like I used to suffer with migraines. I won't go into too much, but because they have reduced so dramatically from using the microcurrent programs, that's really what I tend to stick with a lot, but I do like the coach.
Yeah, the coach, the reason I asked that is because you're obviously great at manifesting stuff and the coach is meant to be like really amazing at helping you sort of break down limiting beliefs and to excel you and to, you know, manifest. But yeah, the microcurrents are amazing as well and should be used. But just actually, I just want to say, just pick up on one thing because you don't have to use Bluetooth. You can turn the Bluetooth off.
Yes,
Yeah. So
that's
like,
just like my preconceived idea of it, and I hadn't, you know, before I even looked into it, I just assumed that yeah, that's what it, because I thought it was like an Apple Watch type thing. Yeah,
Oh, I made God shitloads of assumptions about it. You know, I remember just thinking for so long I kind of wanted one, but I didn't because I found the fact it was network marketing icky. And or like, you know, the classic one is, oh, it's a pyramid scheme. You know, I used to just say that. I'm like, what the hell? It's not like,
No.
and It's just nuts, but that is the kind of programming I think that goes on a mass level, that we just have these assumptions, and sometimes we don't even realize we still have these program thoughts where we don't, where we
That's it.
sort of need to challenge ourselves sometimes on where does that come from?
But what I love the most about it is the awareness that it gives you, because it makes you have to use your intention with it, you know. So it's like, so I love affirmations. I use them daily. So when you use your affirmations combined with your Healy, because you really are having to use your intention, like I just think it's the most powerful thing. And yeah, that's why I love it so much. That's why, yeah, I think that's why it appeals to me so much. Yeah, it's quite a special device. I think we're very lucky to
Oh
have that.
yeah, I think that all the time. And also just like I'm grateful for the community, you know, and connecting with people like you, and just the sense of team spirit. I love it. I absolutely love it.
It is amazing. I mean, I wouldn't be here probably today if I didn't have one, and like, yeah, get to call you my friend and work with you now
Oh, thank
and
you, Emma.
everyone else, you know, it's pretty special.
It is. So, and your story is incredible. I think so inspiring for everyone. And I want to, like, I guess if people are thinking, right, well, I am discontented and dissatisfied, and I'm in a similar position to how Emma was, you know, I feel depressed, I'd love to leave, but I can't. You know, what advice would you give, or what practical steps can people do to kind of make the jump to, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be as radical as selling everything or and moving to Portugal, but yeah, would you have any advice to people on how to even get started?
Change your mindset. Like, that was for me, that was the biggest thing. Like, I came through lockdown, you know, I came across people like Bruce Lipton. Oh my God, like that man has changed my life, because I realized by listening to him, it made me conscious of the patterns that I'd been through and why I thought the way I did. I could see everything. I understood about, then I sort of taught me about subconscious programming and all of these things. It kind of clicked for me. I could see what had happened and why I was the way I was and why I thought the way I was about myself. And then he also taught me that I could retrain my subconscious. So that's where I started, really, was with, I mean, I came home one day and my family thought I was crazy, because I literally came home after I listened to a podcast. I got a Sharpie and I wrote on every single mirror in my house, "I am enough." And that's where it started. And then, so I started to retrain my subconscious mind with affirmations, because our thoughts and words are so powerful. So that was it, really. And then it just went from there. So if you can change your mindset and realize that you can create anything, any lifestyle that you want, and then you just have to go for it. You need to be brave and you need to go for it and you need to trust and have faith that it will work out. And yeah, be positive. So I think, yeah, mindset matters, definitely. Like, that it was a game changer for me.
Absolutely. What did you do? You know what? I haven't actually read Bruce Lipton's book, which, you know, I'm a prolific reader and I must read it because I know it's like I actually even borrowed it off my sister, but I think I was busy like writing a course or doing something at the time and didn't get around to reading it. I must read it. Like, did you listen to him or read his book? Like, people are thinking, what's best Bruce Lipton resources? Because it is, he is meant to be absolutely
Yeah, so
amazing.
is it the biology
Biology
of,
of Belief.
and there's another one I listen to, and I can't, so I have books, I have lots of books somewhere, there were some of them up there, but I'm rubbish at reading. So I'm a real audiobook fan and podcast fan. That's because not everyone likes to sit down and read, but if you can listen to a podcast or audiobook when you're walking or, you know, doing whatever, driving in your car, that's how I did it. So yeah, Biology of Belief was great. I can't remember the other one. It's such a shame I can't remember it. But I listened to him on podcasts and just listened to him talk over and over and over again. I'm the sort of person, I kind of hyper focus a little bit. And so I just li really listened to him until I was done with him. And then I moved on to something else. And that's another good thing to do as well. Like, everything that you watch, like, do, you know, watch on the TV, listen to, make sure it's something that's going to help you progress. So when I wanted to get a van, I literally watched videos about it, spoke about it constantly, and looked for vans on eBay, even though I couldn't afford one. just, you know, just made like my whole life my vision board, really,
Yeah.
until it happened. I think that's a good thing to do as well. Just really focus and concentrate on what it is that you want. And then hopefully you end up getting there.
Yeah, and do you know what? It's so true. I think half the time people don't actually know what they want. And I know, like with myself, I can sort of say, if I want something, if I really, really want something and I have a clear vision what it is, like I'd say most of the times it happens. But when I'm not sure about something or not 100% certain, like for example, me with moving, because I'm like, oh, I quite like it here I live. Oh, the garden's nice and this is nice and I can walk into town, but I've still got space. And you know, as soon as I go down that route, I'm like, that's why you're not moving, because you're not
Yeah, because
absolutely
you've just
single.
talked yourself out of it, really. Yeah. And
Yeah.
sometimes you just have to take the opportunities anyway, even if they're terrifying, you know, even if it's scary, just do it anyway. That's
Yeah,
kind
do
of
it
what I do
scared.
now. Do it scared. I don't really say no to anything anymore. You know, any opportunity that comes my way, I say yes. As long, you know, unless it's really horrible, of course. But if I know that I'm thinking about saying no just because it's scary, then I just say yes anyway before I really think about it too much and just do it.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I won't say what it is that I'm doing in September, but someone asked me to do something and my initial thought was, that's amazing, but I'm way too scared. And then I thought, that's the reason to do it, Lisa. So
Because
yeah.
that's where the growth is. And yeah, I did a container actually while I was in France. I did this 8-week container with this wonderful lady, and it was a group one actually. And yeah, that was terrifying, but I did it anyway. And she is the one that really taught me and kind of like instilled it into me that, you know, that is where the growth is. Growth is outside of your comfort zone. So if you want to move forward, you have to push yourself. There is no choice. Otherwise, you'll just stay stagnant in the same place. And I actually think that's a little bit more terrifying.
Totally. And yeah, for me personally, I've shared it on previous podcasts and bits and bobs, but as it's relevant, you know, I used to be terrified of public speaking. There is no way I ever would have envisaged that I'd be doing this. And it was only because someone I absolutely admired at the time asked me on Instagram to share my story on a live, and I was like, oh my God, I can't do that. Then I was like, yes, you can. And you're going to have to tell your story first before you go and do it on someone else's platform. And then once you kind of put that out there, then the public speaking course came, and then that they happened to be running a podcast workshop. And then that day, my podcast Jingle Jangle got recorded, and it just kind of happened like totally effortlessly, like what you were saying almost about your move to France. I think. Once you push yourself, and I think if you don't take those risks, you know, I think, oh God, I'd still be like working my accountancy job, depressed, yeah, miserable.
Exactly. Miserable. I dread to think how I would have been if I'd have stayed in England and not taken that chance. It's a that's an even scarier thought for me. And once you like everything just gets easier, I think. Once you live sort of once you get in flow and you start to live how you really want to live, you know, what how you really desire, it just gets easier, I think. You know, just kind of the universe always provides, you know, it wants you to be happy, you know, that's the point of life, isn't it? Is to be happy and to have a fulfilling life and find your purpose. And so you just have to go through it. I know probably sound make it sound really easy. It wasn't. None of it was easy though. Like, you know, people say to me all the time, oh, you're so lucky. And it kind of I get a little triggered by that because it wasn't luck that got us here. And it wasn't easy. And it still isn't. Some days I still get, you know, I miss my son and you know, it isn't easy. I don't speak Portuguese. I can't, you know, it's not always easy. I should learn. It's not easy. It's not always easy, but I don't know. I guess it is easier because I'm happier. If that makes
Yeah,
sense.
it's you know, it's rewarding to challenge yourself. Like when I feel happiest and most content at the end of the day, it's when I've pushed myself out of my comfort zone. It's not when I've had a easy day lying around doing nothing. That doesn't fulfill me.
That's
So,
it. And I
yeah, I
think like how cool, like what le how what amazing lessons I'm teaching my kids.
Absolutely. So what, Emma, what's your plans going forward? Are you sort of continuing to wing it, or do you have like an idea of what you want to do?
Oh God, I'm just winging it really, to be honest, Lisa. I'm just gonna continue to wing it. Trust that it'll be okay and just take all the opportunities that come. I really want to build on my business because I love it so much. Like, I didn't think that I would be doing what I'm doing. You know, I'm sort of, I'm building a website at the moment. I'm writing my first ebook, Lisa, about
Amazing.
Healy. I just wanted something the other day when we were talking on the team meeting. I was like, right, I took your idea and I ran with it. So I've been writing an ebook about Healy to be able to give out to the people.
Oh, that's awesome, because that is something actually that people really want, is it in written format?
Yeah, I
Like, there's a
think
lot
so.
of videos out there, and it's
Yeah, that's
there's
it. Yeah.
yeah, that's amazing. Oh,
Yeah.
brilliant.
So
Come
I'm
on,
kind of half.
crack the whip, get it written while we're on
I'm
it.
halfway through that now, and yeah, building a website, and yeah, I just really want to build in my business. But what I love about it is now that I know what is possible with it. Like, I want to help the ladies on my team. You know, if I can get loads of mums to escape the matrix and to do what they really want to do, like help them with that through Healy, I'd just be so happy. Like, wouldn't that be wonderful? You
Oh my
know?
God. Yeah. And yes, that is just an incredible vision. And I think really possible, because you're doing it already. So it's
Oh, I'm
amazing.
gonna. Yeah, I will do it. You know, I can't wait to see where I am this time next year. Like, I don't have any doubt in myself anymore.
Good.
So, yeah, I'm going to build on that. And then we've got to build this house.
Just a little
And
thing. We're just going to build the house. Yeah.
we like rebuild this house. We're waiting for the roof to be done. And then I'm going to learn how to grow veg and just learn about self-sufficiency and being off-grid and, yeah, learn more about homeopathy and just to continue to stay out of the system, basically. And yeah, keep my son free. That's probably my biggest driver. Just, you know, keep him free and happy and protect him.
Amazing, Emma. What an amazing, incredible story. So, people that want to connect, how best to connect with you?
Best on Instagram at the moment, thriving with frequency. I am building my website, so hopefully by the time this comes out, it should be up and running. But yeah, Instagram really. I love Instagram. I think it's just a really nice place to be. I've kind of fallen in love with it, really enjoying being on there. It doesn't have to be, well, you can make it. Again, you can make it what you want it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I go through love hate with Instagram.
I
I'm
know.
kind of, I'm keeping a bit of a distance, like, at the
But they
minute.
censor you so hard, you know, it's different for you, isn't it? You know, you get really censored. Although I did have my first reel deleted, which was funny.
Oh, you posted such a good reel in response to that. What
Yeah,
was
I
it
know.
from? That was amazing. I was like, where did you find that from? That
I
was
love
awesome.
stuff like that. I just think it's really fun, you know, if you look at it in a, yeah, through that those sorts of eyes, you know, just make it a really fun space. And I only ever I if you don't inspire me, I don't follow you, basically. You have to be inspiring, you know. So yeah, Instagram really is probably where I am most of the time.
Okay, so thriving with frequency, and I'll put a link in the show notes as well. But yeah, reach out to Emma if you've got any questions, or just go follow her page, because it is amazing. And I love just seeing what you're doing and just thinking,
Yeah.
ah, oh, it's inspiring. I love it.
It is fun. We do love it. We have a really good life. I'm very grateful. And yeah, if anyone wants to come and work with me, you know, I'd love to find some mums that, yeah, need help, want to get out of the matrix, as we call it. So yeah, I'm up for that, definitely.
And you're, yeah, Emma's amazing mentor. So definitely reach out to her, because she is, yeah, just a wonderful human being, as you can tell
Oh,
from listening to
thank
this. So thank you so much, Emma, for coming on.
I can't believe I'm on here. Thank you for having
Oh,
me.
thank you.
Yeah, super grateful for you, Lisa. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.